way to shop, and you can help Catholic Radio at the same time. The website can be found at AveMariaRadio.net.
This is Full-Time Catholic Radio for Southeast Michigan, 990 WDEO, Ypsilanti, Detroit.
Afternoon is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
With the New York Times in one hand and the Catechism of the Catholic Church in the other, Al Cresta is ready for conversations of consequence.
The world is changing.
Christians executed in a mass beheading.
A gunman opened fire on two young journalists.
Fairly alarmed here.
Celebrations erupted on the steps of the Supreme Court.
They succeeded in painting us as irrational bigots.
More people are exercising freedom from religion.
It's a tough time, but it's a great time to be Catholic in America.
Broadcasting from the studios of Ave Maria Radio in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and taking a closer Catholic look at current events, issues, and ideas. This is Cresta in the Afternoon.
Al, you are doing great work.
It's a wonderful afternoon program.
I love it.
Let us go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
Who's coming with me?
Anyone? Anyone?
And here we go.
And good afternoon to you. I'm Al Cresta, thanking you once again. Of course, the Republican debate on CNN last night, probably, I understand it's one of CNN's most watched segments. So, good. That's always nice to know that American people are paying attention. Here's what I want to do today. We've got some great guests coming on, but I want to talk with you and let you talk with me about last night's Republican debate. The number is going to be 1-877-573-7825. That's 1-877-573-7825. Now, we're going to have just going to be pretty brief exchanges. I don't want to have long, involved exchanges. I want to kind of do a popcorn poll here. But I'm asking you this. Who do you think won? What did you like? Is there somebody who's a front runner? Is there a defining or disqualifying issue for you? So, again, I'm going to ask you that question at 1-877-573-7825 right after the news break. Okay? We're going to go there right after the news break. So that's we're going to do this in the top first segment of the 4 o'clock hour and the first segment of the 5 o'clock hour so we can have a little bit of discussion about last night's Republican debate. Also coming up today, though, we'll be talking about Catholicism and American law. Is Catholic teaching and Catholic thought on the role of the judiciary, the role of the legislature, is that compatible with American law? Can we have a Catholic influence on our legal system without violating the separation of church and state? We're going to discuss it with a constitutional professor, law professor Ron Rischlak. So that's coming up. Also, Austin Ivory joins us once again with Pope Francis's visit to the U.S. getting such major media attention. Austin will give us some tips on how we can help keep the message clear. He succeeded in doing that in England when Pope Benedict XVI went there, and he's going to help us defend the faith without raising our voice. So all that's coming up on today's Cresta in the Afternoon. Let me say that last night's Republican debate was a bit of a free-for-all, which I have to confess I enjoyed far more than the Fox-moderated debate. At least in this case, CNN let the candidates gang up on Donald Trump instead of the debate moderators. So that was an improvement. Here's my take. Carly Fiorina, no matter what Donald Trump said about her face in Rolling Stone magazine, looked as presidential as any candidate up there and far more than most. She has the strong presence. She stole the show, I would say. Sharp, controlled, intelligent, quick on her feet. Her attack on Planned Parenthood was about the best I've ever heard from a politician, and I think she endeared herself to evangelical and Catholic pro-lifers. Having said that, there's some ambiguity in her pro-life position, which we're trying to get her to clarify. So we're hoping to have something for you on that shortly. Now, I think she's in the top tier now. There's no doubt about it, and she's going to get scrutiny. That scrutiny is going to be brutal. And we're going to learn more about her past than most of us want to know, but good luck to her. She put in a great performance last night, and I do think she stole the show. when she went after Donald Trump for his silly put-downs, I noticed his face reddening. Now, I don't know if it was the lighting or his blood pressure, but he wasn't really on his game last night. When he was asked about Syria, he could only get about three sentences off. More coming up, but right now the news headlines with Steve Clark in for Nick Tom.
Thank you, Al. Good afternoon, everyone. This is your Ave Maria Radio News for Thursday, September 17th. The saint of the day is St. Robert Bellarmine, and today's news is brought to you in part by the Ave Maria Family of Funds at AveMariaFunds.com. Officials say they have recovered the body of a seventh hiker at Zion National Park in Utah. A search and rescue team found the body today. All seven deaths are hikers that died in Monday's flash flood. Today's discovery brings a confirmed death toll from the flash floods this week to 19, with still a person missing. Health officials want you to get your flu shot. The CDC's Lisa Groshkoff says vaccinations are very important, particularly in more at-risk segments of the population.
Some people with certain chronic medical conditions are more likely to have serious outcomes. Pregnant women are more likely to have serious outcomes. These are groups of the population that are at increased risk of feeling very ill.
But she emphasized that even healthy adults and kids can become very ill with the flu. She says about 44% of Georgians were covered by last year's flu vaccine, whereas the national average was about 50%, essentially unchanging from the year before. At least 10 San Diego area schools on high alert today after they were targeted with threats of violence. Threats regarding shootings or bombs were called in at all 10 high schools around the region beginning at 9 a.m. All of the campuses were placed on lockdown while San Diego police swept the grounds. No dangerous devices or weapons have been located at any of the schools. The Federal Reserve says interest rates will remain unchanged. That announcement comes as the Fed's policymaking body wraps up 2 days of meetings. Short-term rates will remain near zero, which is where they've been for almost a decade. Dow Jones Industrial Average at the heels of the closing bell are down 100 points. And Pope Francis said today that the suffering of the people in Syria and Iraq is among, quote, the most overwhelming human tragedies of recent decades. In an address to a conference bringing together representatives of the Catholic charitable groups working in the Middle East, the Pope decreed the continued bloodshed in Syria and Iraq. He said that, quote, the international community seems unable to find adequate solutions while the arms dealers continue to achieve their interest. He added that none can pretend not to know about the crisis. And now for your fascinating fact for the day, Elvis. Well, he owned $60,000 worth of prescription sunglasses. $60,000. Filling in for Nick Tom, Steve Clark, Ave Maria Radio News.
Good afternoon. I'm Al Cresta, thanking you. You know, there is people are raising questions about Carly Fiorina's pro-life convictions here. The history is difficult to piece together, and we're really waiting to get this thing confirmed. She has definitely called for overturning of Roe v. Wade. All right, that's good. She did in the past have exceptions for rape, incest, and maternal endangerment. And she's made comments like liberals believe in protecting flies, but not human life. But there's one statement floating around that she will ban abortions 20 weeks after fertilization, which is the one statement that is incompatible with the vast majority of other statements. So, unfortunately, we don't know perfectly. She has said just in May of this year that the DNA of a zygote is exactly the same DNA that the person has when they are fully grown. And I don't know if she's still working out her thinking on this, but she opposes federal abortion funding. She opposes judicial activism. She opposes prohibiting embryonic stem cell research as long as we aren't creating embryos for the research. Anyways, it was an entertaining debate last night. Our number is 1-877-573-7825. I mentioned Donald Trump on Syria. He didn't get more than three sentences off and then stopped. I think he probably ran out of things to say. By contrast, last night, Rubio went on for what seemed like 3 minutes, mastering details. He articulated a coherent foreign policy. Jeb Bush had a funny moment when he chose for his Secret Service code name, EverReady, and he turned to Trump and said, Donald, that's high energy. It was great laughter, lots of fun. Trump and Bush gave each other five. And then this was after Jeb tried to get Donald to apologize to Jeb's wife for comments that seemed to belittle her Mexican-American status. Trump refused to apologize. Bush tried to respond like a man, but didn't really draw any blood. It was a draw. Ben Carson, who finished tops in our popcorn poll last week, Carson tried to stay above the fray. But I'm telling you, playing the adult during a food fight is really tough, especially when the audience likes food fights. And I think he probably hurt himself by not being as incisive as the circumstances demanded. Scott Walker, on the other hand, was more energetic, but he couldn't get more than 8 minutes on camera in 3 hours. His best line was, Mr. Trump, we don't need an apprentice in the White House. We already have one right now. Mike Huckabee had a great moment when he rallied to the defense of Kim Davis, gave a powerful appeal for Americans to remember, we are a nation that protects liberty of conscience, and we make religious accommodations. Chris Christie thundered against Donald Trump and Carly Fiorina, telling them that middle-class people have been hurt over the last 7 years, and they don't care about Trump and Fiorina sparring over who had the best business resume. Rand Paul did better than the first debate, but he keeps getting marginalized on foreign policy because he's so different than the rest of his counterparts. So he doesn't seem to be able to make any impact on the debate. He did position himself as the serious defender of the Constitution. John Kasich wanted to put Mother Teresa on the $10 bill. I'm not saying he was insincere, but it sounded a bit self-serving when he did it. He's not always the best at getting his point across. He is pragmatic, and I think he did register with prospective voters for the first time. But we'll see. He's looking for a big show in New Hampshire. Christie's doing the same thing. If they don't do well there, the show may be over for them. Ted Cruz is going to benefit if Donald Trump steps away, because immigration is likely to be a major issue during the Republican primary season. And there's no doubt that Ted Cruz is positioning himself as the in the Trump mold when it comes to immigration. The problem is that he doesn't come off as very likable. He's a committed man. He's a principled man. It's good to be respected, right? But in politics, you also have to be liked. And I think he has a tough time showing the charm. So give me a call. Let's talk right now. We'll take a few minutes here. Who do you like? Who don't you like? Who do you think did best? What are defining issues? What are disqualifying issues? Let's go to your calls. 1-877-573-7825. That's 1-877-573-7825. We'll go to Plymouth, Michigan. Terry, you are up.
Hi, Al.
Hi.
Yes. Carly Fiorina had a great grasp of the issues, and she was able to transition from issue to issue quickly. Ben Carson, his delivery is just too slow, and I don't know if he was up on the issues or not, and I am very fond of him. I don't think Trump did any preparation. What do you think about Jake Tapper was pitting the candidates against each other, and I kept on saying the candidates should be going after Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders and the Democratic Party, and yet it seemed to be CNN's advantage to have them have this infighting.
Yeah, I didn't mind that because it's so early in the season. They have to separate themselves from one another and define one another. Chris Christie many times did put Hillary Clinton out in front and went after her. Some of the other candidates did as well. But you're absolutely right. They wanted to pit the candidates against one another, and they used previous statements of these candidates to do so. I didn't mind it. Later in the season, I think I would mind it. But right now, they got a lot of sorting out to do, so I didn't mind it all. Appreciate the call, Terry.
Thanks. Thank you.
And we'll go to, Deacon Ernie. We lost you there. We're in North Haven, Connecticut. I wanted to hear from you. Give me a call back. 1-877-573-7825. We'll go to John in Ohio, listening on 1060. John, good to have you with me.
Hey, Al. How's it going?
Doing great, John. Thanks.
Yeah, I was really excited to watch the debate, as I usually am. I was excited to see Rand Paul maybe yell at some people like last time, but he wasn't yelling at anybody, and Donald Trump was talking the whole time, and I fell asleep halfway through it.
There were times when it really lagged. Trump got about 18 minutes of time, I think, roughly 18 minutes of time.
How much can you talk and say nothing?
A lot of people pointed that out, that he's not showing a substantive policy. I we'll see. Look, he's a very smart man. He is experienced in the ways of the world. He's going to have access to all the experts and policymakers that he wants. He can pay them. And he has world experience. There's no doubt about it. He's the guy who wrote The Art of the Deal, right? But for some reason, he's not showing that. Maybe he doesn't want to go that deep. Maybe he still thinks he's in the entertainment game. I don't know. But I think he got hurt last night. We'll wait and see when the scientific polls actually are done. I don't trust any of these free, overnight polls on the internet. But I appreciate the call, though. Thanks, John.
Yeah, thank you.
1-877-573-7825. Let's go to Pam in Fenton, Michigan. You're up, Pam.
Yes. Hi, Al. Thank you. I've never called in before, but after watching last night's debate, I was so encouraged and enlightened. I didn't even know how to say Carly Fiorina's name before last night. I had a vague idea that I knew she was in the first debate that was not televised and that she was a CEO for Hewlett Packard, but that was it. Mm-hmm. And afterwards I thought she was presidential. Out of all of them up there, I had the most confidence in her intelligence, her ability to communicate and inspire. I really was blown away by her, and I thought, whoever doesn't snap her up to be a VP, if she doesn't get the nomination, and I doubt that she will, but whoever doesn't snap her up to be their VP is really missing someone important and special. And then my other point is, I was so disappointed when I pulled out the New York Times today and the USA Today. They had nothing. The USA Today had nothing about her. And very little about...
Really?
Yes, I just reread it again. Her name was mentioned once, unless I missed something, but I don't think. And the New York Times had very little about what a presence in a strong woman and how great she did.
Yeah.
I'm looking for it, and I don't see it. Maybe
Tomorrow. Washington Post has a story. Fiorina wins and Trump fades. And The Atlantic also put Fiorina at the top. So there are two places where you'll be able to get some more information on this. But appreciate the call. Thanks, Pam. Glad you decided to take advantage of the opportunity. I'm Al Cresta. More coming up.
WeatherGuard has been protecting Michigan homes for nearly three decades. But what about the earth, our common home? With the latest innovations in windows and insulation, WeatherGuard is dedicated to products that last well beyond the low standards set by our throwaway culture and are carefully engineered to cut energy costs and reduce the impact we have on our common home. Visit WeatherGuard.com to get a free estimate and learn how you can do your part to reduce energy consumption. We're WeatherGuard, and we're here to protect your home.
Today, if you oppose contraception or abortion, the secular left will attempt to marginalize and indeed vilify your opposition by declaring it a war on women. And if you oppose so-called same-sex marriage, you are immediately labeled a bigot. These are just a couple of examples of how twisted, and let's be frank, evil, the secular left has become. As I witness these attacks on our faith, I'm reminded of the prophecy of Sister Lucia of Fatima, in which she tells us that the final battle between the Lord and the reign of Satan will be over marriage and the family. No honest person of faith with eyes to see can deny the truth of this prophecy. Indeed, it is the only true explanation for what we are witnessing today, an explanation that we ignore or dismiss at our own peril. People often ask me, how could the Supreme Court justify its marriage decision in light of the law, and in particular the Constitution? And my response, it can't. So don't look for law, reason, or justice as a way to explain what the court and our culture are doing to marriage and the family. There is only one true explanation, the father of lies. But also do not forget the next part of Sister Lucia's prophecy, and that is this. Do not be afraid, because victory has already been won by our Lord. I'm Robert Muse, co-founder and senior counsel for the American Freedom Law Center, bringing you this Faith and Freedom Minute. You can learn more about the American Freedom Law Center and its fight for your faith and freedom by visiting our website, liking us on Facebook, and following us on Twitter.
Republicans, Democrats, no matter which political party is in office, there are always investment opportunities to be found. The Ave Maria Mutual Funds won't compromise the moral beliefs of its investors. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. The portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and moral values. Call toll-free 866-AVE-MARIA or at AveMariaFunds.com.
Schwartz Investment Counsel, Inc., a registered investment advisor established in 1980, serves as an investment advisor. All mutual funds are subject to market risk, including possible loss of principal. To obtain performance through the most recent month-end and a prospectus, which includes objectives, risks, fees, expenses, and other information that you should read and consider carefully before investing, the number is 1-866-AVE-MARIA or at AveMariaFunds.com. Distributed by Ultimus Fund Distributors, LLC.
This is Father Frank Pavone of Priests for Life. Blessed are they who show mercy. Mercy shall be theirs. At the heart of our religion is the cry for mercy that we direct to the Lord. His mercy does not only mean His forgiveness for the wrong we have done, but also means His protection for us from the power of our spiritual and physical enemies. But when we seek and receive His mercy, we also incur the duty to extend that mercy to our brothers and sisters who depend on us to protect and rescue them. Those who need our mercy the most are the children in the womb. They have been deprived of the most basic protection of their lives. Blessed are they who show mercy. Blessed are they who speak up for these children and work to end abortion. This is Father Frank Pavone on Ave Maria Radio.
Good afternoon, I'm Al Cresta. You know, I'm sorry, I didn't mention it in the last segment, but we're going to be posting a video that gives my very quick and brief reactions to the GOP debate, which took place last night, and I'd really love for you to take a look at the video. Now, right now, it's not up here quite yet, but we've got a blog post there, so it has some copy anyways. And I'd love for you to share, you know, your thoughts on this very thing, you know, who won, who lost, what's a defining issue, what's a disqualifying issue, who do you like, who do you think the front runner is. Just go ahead and check that out. It'll be at AveMariaRadio.net. You can click on the image of the candidates at the top of the homepage there, and that'll take you to the reaction video or the reaction blog post, and there'll be a place there for you to share your own thoughts. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Well, joining me right now is a man who I've enjoyed many times on this program in the past, but we don't get a chance to see each other very often, and that's Professor Ron Rischlak, who's professor of law at the University of Mississippi. He is advisor to the Holy See's delegation to the United Nations. You're still doing that?
I am still doing that.
Very good. Glad to hear it. He's a member of the Mississippi Advisory Committee to the U.S. Civil Rights Commission and the author or co-author of 8 books, including Real and Demonstrative Evidence, Application in Theory. That sounds like a pretty serious graduate-level textbook or something. Yeah. Wow. And then Hitler, the War, and the Pope. And Ron is probably the foremost defender of Pope Pius in the Hitler or the Holocaust Wars.
To a few of us who do that, but certainly I'd like to read all I can, learn all I can, and do all I can.
Before we get into the, you know, what you're doing in the new book, American Law from a Catholic Perspective, where are we in the defending?
Well, there are a few pieces of news that are worth noting. I mean, there's a magnificent new book. Mark Ribbling has written a new book about Pope Pius XII and his involvement in the conspiracies to overthrow Hitler, the Bonhoeffer conspiracy, the
really?
Strasbourg conspiracy.
Those are two very famous
ones. They're very
yeah.
famous ones, and there were some footnotes. And I've got in my book, I've got some footnoted little tidbits that indicated that the Pope was involved in it. This book blows that up and shows clearly the Pope, they've got the messenger who ran messages back and forth between the conspirators and the Pope.
Huh.
The guy who was caught Ooh. By the Nazis the same day Bonhoeffer was caught was actually on the verge of being executed and got a reprieve at the last minute, lived to tell the story. And Ribbling is fluent in numerous languages and heavily footnoted book. And
what's it called?
Yeah, it's Mark Ribbling's book.
I'll find it. Okay.
But it's quite good.
Your book is still Hitler, the War, and the Pope.
Hitler, the War, and the Pope.
That's the one to read. That's the master one.
And it's in its second edition, revised edition with Our Sunday Visitor, mm-hmm. where the thing, I don't know if we've talked since this. You know, I have a book in 2013 that came out, like co-authored with Ian Mihai Pachepa, who's the highest-ranking Soviet bloc intelligence officer ever to defect to the West. And the reason he and I got together is the book's called Disinformation. It's about how Soviet officers put fake ideas out to the West to undercut our beliefs, our
Whoa,
values.
Really?
And one of them was that the Pope was willing to go along with Hitler, that it was Hitler's Pope. I mean, that was a fabrication of the greatest disinformation office that's ever existed in humanity. So the whole thing was a construct of the Soviets.
People have often wondered about things like this because the tremendous acclaim for Pope Pius XII's behavior during the Second World War. He was hailed as magnanimous, as a protector of the Jewish people. He received the highest praise from major Jewish leaders, Golda Meir, as I remember,
right.
and Albert Einstein.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, on a dime, things seemed to change.
And that was the hardest question to answer. Why did his reputation flip like that? And the answer is in the book, Disinformation. It's that Pachepa and I publish with WND Books, and we go through a number of disinformation campaigns that the Soviets put forward. But one of the principal ones that we go back to throughout the book is how they framed Pope Pius XII as an anti-Semite to drive a wedge between the United States and Israel to devalue Catholicism and the Church. Now, understand, they didn't care about Pope Pius XII per se. That's not the point. The point is, if you establish a pope as sympathetic to the Nazis, you discredit the Church, you discredit
right.
Christianity.
Absolutely.
Everything goes. So that was a massive campaign. My co-author was involved in it. We go into great detail about how they did that and how they were engaged in some other ones, too. But that's been a lot of fun getting to know him. He lives today, by the way, still in hiding. He's the guy. He was number two to Ceausescu in Romania. He really brought down Ceausescu, and he lives with a couple million-dollar bounty on his head because of that.
That's still so. Ceausescu still has those who will take vengeance.
There are people who are still loyal to him. There are people who, to this day, argue that he in fact was a good leader, and that Pachepa, my co-author, was a bad guy who framed
wow.
him.
Wow.
And those people, Pachepa is not willing to trust them with his life, which is what
yeah.
it would be.
Yeah, unbelievable. Well, let's switch gears here, because, by the way, that book is called Disinformation, Former Spy Chief Reveals Secret Strategies for Undermining Freedom, Attacking Religion, and Promoting Terrorism, again by Ron Rischlak and Lieutenant General Ian Pachepa.
Pachepa.
Very good. And then Ron's book that really has been foundational for many Catholics' understanding of the actions of Pope Pius XII during the Second World War is called Hitler, the War, and the Pope. Well, you've now also published American Law from a Catholic Perspective through a Clearer Lens. So for people who may wonder, what does Catholicism bring to the discussion of American law? Isn't one religion and isn't one law?
No, you know, Catholicism has a rich intellectual history that goes back 2,000 years. And in this book, and you know, I wrote one chapter of this book. This is a book that's got, I think, 19 chapters, 20, mm-hmm. 22 chapters, 22 chapters, written by really some of the best and yeah. brightest Catholic thinkers today, certainly Catholic legal scholars today.
Yep. I recognize many of these names.
Right, well, and there are a number of them who I twisted arms. I really wanted them in the book. And I'm proud to be in the book. If I didn't edit this book, I still would be proud to be in this book.
Yeah. It's a good company.
It is. And it we take different subjects, and each subject, I wrote the chapter on tort law, but there's chapters on bankruptcy, there's chapters on marital law, on military law, on property, on marital contracts, several on the sort of philosophy and constitutional law kind of things, and the history of Catholic education in the United States. And there's a fullness that can come to the law when you bring this Catholic social teaching to it. Now, you're right. The American courts and American system does not fully embrace all aspects of the Catholic Church.
Sure.
You know, you have a number of areas where we conflict and contrast, but a lot of it can work together. And what this book says is, what if it worked together even better? What if we brought more of that Catholic social teaching into our legal system? How would it be different? How would it be better? Are there problems that would develop? And I think if you read through this book, you see that there are a number of places where it could be deeply enriched. We had a review recently, a letter from a guy who said, you know, I'm not a Catholic, but I see the value that would bring to this. Michael Novak, who endorses it on the back cover, he said, I'm not a lawyer, but I appreciate what we get from this book and what we get from these essays. Yeah. And I'm really proud of what the people did and how we put it together.
It's very rich. I mean, looking at the chapters here. Let me go to your chapter, though. Tort law from a Catholic perspective. What's a tort?
You know, I think I was in law school several weeks before I understood that. But it's a pastry for breakfast. So. But it's a tort is when you have harmed me. You broke something of mine. You injured me. You took something away from me, and I sue you to be compensated for, to have it returned, to have it fixed, whatever it is. It's not a contract. It's not property. It's an individual injury in action between the two of us.
Okay.
And I actually, a few years ago, wrote a book for the Acton Institute, a little book for them, on tort law. So when I was assigning chapters, I thought this would be something good for me. Some of the research
done
there already.
Or you had some money in the bank there, some knowledge in the bank.
And so, but what was interesting about that was thinking that I had a pretty good idea. I began doing more serious research and found some very interesting law review articles. My perception going in, and really my line still throughout the chapter, is that tort law comports fairly well with Catholic tradition. It's a matter of responsibility. It's a matter of free will. You're responsible if you, and you're more responsible if you intentionally do something.
Right. So the person is regarded as a free moral agent.
Exactly.
Yeah. Which is actually, for some of us, we think that's obvious, but not in modern philosophy. It's not always the case. Yeah.
Which is kind of nice that in law it is. Law presumes free will much more so than does psychology or philosophy.
Absolutely right. Yeah.
And so I wrote about that, but I felt that way. But, you know, in doing research, there are significant scholars who argue the other side, and you have to read through them, address them, think, and I try to acknowledge good points they make. There are some people who would say, you know, who try to contrast the tort system sort of with the kingdom of God, and we would never have any of these. Well, you can assume away a legal system at some level.
Of course, if there's no fall, I'm not sure there'd be a tort system before the fall.
Right.
Yeah.
But I do come away saying that, and by the way, we look at then how tort law changed in the second half of the 20th century.
Really?
We moved away somewhat from that personal responsibility. You began seeing more actions that were based upon deep pocket type theories, you know, help out the injured plaintiff.
Really?
You began to see more of that, a movement away from causation sometime. Some of the environmental lawsuits, for instance, you don't necessarily prove causation, but you prove that someone has been hurt, so you got a rich defendant, so we're going to give money.
Huh.
And I see problems with that, and that's where I write about and suggest moving the other way.
Ron, hold it there. We'll come back, continue conversation. My guest is law professor Ron Rischlak. He's the editor recently of American Law from a Catholic Perspective Through a Clearer Lens. I'm Al Cresta. More coming up.
I'm Peggy Stanton, and I'm inviting you to join me on Power from the Pews when I interview the people who are engaged in remarkable ministries that are making a real difference in their parishes and the world. That's this Saturday at 11 a.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. on Ave Maria Radio.
Do you want a family physician who respects the inherent dignity of every human person of any age? Do you want your physician to respect parents as the primary educators of their children and not the secular culture? Sacred Heart Medical Center is a medical practice that is Christ-centered, family-oriented, and faithful to the teachings of the Catholic Church. With locations in Livonia and Brighton, learn more today by calling 734-338-0600. That's 734-338-0600 or at sacredheartmedical.org.
Hi, I'm Dan Hall from Pinckney Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, and here's our cheerleaders.
Come on over to Dan Hall's Pinckney Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram for the Chrysler Anniversary Celebration.
Boyd, we got a deal for you.
Hey, everybody, come on down and see. We got the best vehicles in Pinckney, from Dodge to Chrysler, and they are pricier. From Jeep to Ram, our cars are a grand slam.
Hashtag celebrate Pinckney.
Don't miss our Chrysler Anniversary Celebration. Choose from over 8 acres of new and certified pre-owned fine automobiles. Check out more at PinckneyChrysler.com.
Support for Ave Maria Radio comes from Image Catholic Books. What is true happiness? How can you experience it? And can you live it wholeheartedly in your day-to-day life? More importantly, does Christianity provide happiness in a way that other paths cannot? In his new book, The Gospel of Happiness, Dr. Christopher Kaiser has answers using psychology and Christian practice. More can be learned about authentic happiness in The Gospel of Happiness by Dr. Christopher Kaiser, available wherever books are sold.
The Ave Maria Communications Guild invites you to activate your faith. Mark your calendars for the 40 Days for Life Jericho March and Kickoff Rally Sunday, September 20th, beginning at the Planned Parenthood facility in Ann Arbor. This peaceful protest is open for the whole family, with speakers from local clergy and multiple Students for Life representatives. For more information or to sign up for 40 Days for Life, call 734-657-1936. Internationally renowned musician, author, and speaker John Michael Talbot will be leading a parish mission beginning Tuesday, September 22nd at the National Shrine of the Little Flower in Royal Oak. Come hear his remarkable conversion story, leading him from a rock band in the 70s to founding the Order of Brothers and Sisters of Charity. For further details, call 248-918-3765. You can find many more events and enter your own events at our website, AveMariaRadio.net.
It's time for Family Man with Dr. Gregory Popcha.
What does it take to create a truly joyful family life? It might be easier than you think. Researchers at the University of Illinois found that families who made regular time for simple things like family dinners, a game night, family days, family prayer, and even working together on household chores were much happier and more stable than families that spent their time on other activities in their community and school. In fact, the families that made time for these simple rituals were less likely to have kids with school or emotional problems, or deal with promiscuity or drug and alcohol issues, and the parents had happier marriages and greater life satisfaction to boot. If you want to experience your family life as a gift, take time unwrapping that gift by investing in those simple activities of family life that enable you to get to know one another and stay connected to one another. I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck, but you can call me Family Man.
To discover more ways faith can enrich your life, visit CatholicCounselors.com.
¶¶
Cresta. With me is Professor of Law, Ron Rischlak. He has collaborated with many other Catholics in the field of law to give us American law from a Catholic perspective through a clearer lens. And it really is a comprehensive book here. We're looking at, you know, a brief history of American Catholic legal education. There's a chapter on philosophy of law, tort law, the meaning of person, which, of course, is a very important concept, chapter on church and state, on free speech and religious worship, equal protection, bankruptcy law in Catholic social theory, international human rights. Now, these are areas that I think most lay people don't necessarily think about, but I think it's reassuring to know that the faith does touch all areas of life. It has an impact in some way. And in the field of law, how does this prepare an attorney to is there workplace value to study a book like this? Does one become a consistent Catholic thinker and lawyer?
I would say yes. I would say it encourages you to think beyond the form that's sitting in front of you. Just today, my wife came up with me today. I spoke at Western Michigan University Cooley School of Law. We were driving down here, and she read all these chapters as we were working on. She did a tremendous amount of work on it. And I asked her, I said, what was your favorite chapter or chapters? And she mentioned bankruptcy, for instance. Now, you're not going to think about Catholic law and bankruptcy together, right? This chapter was written by a very good friend of mine, John Zarnetsky, a colleague. And my wife said, the thing is, bankruptcy, without the Catholic viewpoint, bankruptcy was largely a punishment kind of thing. If you owed money, you were locked up until you could pay it back, and of course you couldn't pay it back because you're locked up. It was a bad thing. We still don't, want people to go into bankruptcy, but the idea today, which brings in a strong amount of Catholic ethic in it, is that we're helping someone get out of a bad situation.
So in some sense, it's almost like the Jubilee laws of the Old Testament.
Sort of.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's that thought in there. I asked her also, I said, what do you think is the consistent theme? She said it's about the dignity of the human person.
Yeah.
And you see that in the bankruptcy, but we have intellectual property, we have regular property, we have military law.
It's a whole different
from a Catholic,
system, yeah.
From Catholic, but from a Catholic perspective.
Yeah, yeah.
And the overarching theme seems always to be respect for the individual, the free will, the ability of people to earn a living and own property and possess things. Michael Scaparlanda wrote one of the chapters for us. He edited the only sort of comparable book that's out there. There's another compilation like this, which is maybe 5 or 6 years old, that was much more philosophical or theological.
Theological, okay.
Much more, this is more legal. I
mean, yes.
So kind of two different slants on it. I'm really glad that Michael was in on this book.
Sure.
because we are friends, and I don't want this to be competing. I don't think they are. I think I think this is a book that there was a need for. If you're a Catholic, you're thinking about going to law school, you're a Catholic lawyer, and you're wondering, how do I infuse my practice with my faith? Or you're a law student, or you've got a child. I mean, I've got two. You said you got a son in law school.
I have a son in law school.
I have
now,
a son,
yeah.
And a daughter in law school right now. So there still are opportunities out there for good lawyers. Speaking at the law school, I said, America doesn't need more lawyers, but you always need more good lawyers.
That's good. That's good.
And I think books like this and thoughts like this and the richness that the Catholic social teaching can bring help make you a better lawyer, a good lawyer.
Why do you think lawyers have such a bad reputation?
They know us. No, I'm sorry. Most people love their own attorney.
It's right.
There's always the attorney on the other side who's the really bad guy.
Yeah.
And good lawyers hopefully can keep that from happening by acting professionally with dignity, interacting with one another, and good lawyers should do that. But not every lawyer is a good lawyer.
Yeah,
that's the problem.
Yeah. America is regarded as a highly litigious society. People sue at the drop of a hat. Is that true?
It's really not particularly. Actually, that goes back to my tort law chapter.
Yeah,
I think there was a tremendous growth in litigation beginning in the late 1960s through the 70s, 80s, 90s. So many states now have gone through tort reform, which has brought that back.
Okay.
Cut down on that. That's one of the reasons, by the way, there are fewer jobs for lawyers today, and a lot of it
because of tort reform.
Because tort reform means fewer lawsuits,
yeah.
And fewer lawsuits means less need for lawyers.
Right, right.
So those lawyers like myself who sort of thought tort reform was a good thing, we didn't realize we're kind of cutting our profession down there a little bit. I think we are in some ways a legalistic society. But I think America, and I sometimes trace it to growing up in a backyard playing wiffle ball, playing baseball. Is there are rules, and people understand rules, and they abide by rules, and we understand that you're supposed to do that, and it's not all about cheating and whizzling and trying to get past somebody. And if you do something wrong, 90% of the time, you make it right. Sometimes we have a real dispute. We really don't. You don't think you did anything wrong, but I think you did something wrong. And we have to hammer that out. Sometimes you did something wrong, but you won't admit it. We have to hammer that out. But I'd say more than 90% of the time, if you did something wrong, I'll forgive you, or you'll make it up to me, and that's how humanity should be.
Yeah.
And that's part of the point of my chapter is we should encourage people towards forgiveness, but also to proactively make things right.
Yeah, yeah, very good. Let me take you to something. After the Second World War, we have the Nuremberg trials. Okay, the argument of the Nazis were that we did nothing wrong; we were simply agents of our own country's laws, and we lost the war. But how can you hold us as criminals when, in fact, we were simply obedient to our own nation's laws? And the argument was, in some way, and you'll be more articulate than I am on this. But the argument was, well, there's a higher law than the positive law of nations. So where does that concept come from? And is that a correct way of putting it?
Well, yeah. It's often called the Nuremberg defense.
Yeah.
I was only following orders.
Yeah.
And it was at Nuremberg when the world essentially said, we're not going to accept that defense anymore. Although, frankly, a number of World War II soldiers did get away. Soldiers got away with that kind of argument. It's the officers and such who didn't. And the idea is there are some things that you should be responsible for, that you should understand, they should be able to deal with.
Yeah. In other words, it's assumed then that human beings have a certain fundamental moral sensibility that if you miss certain obvious moral truths, you are responsible, you're delinquent, you've done something wrong.
And the truth is, even today, we look at that, people know when they do things wrong.
Right.
They do know. And the Nazi officers who did those horrible, horrible things knew they were doing things wrong. They may have tried to fool themselves, they may have tried to fool people at trial, but they knew, and we all know they knew. And that was the point where the world said, we're not going to tolerate it anymore.
Yeah.
And today, one of the things that I do when I work with the Holy See is work at the International Criminal Court, work on that, which grows directly out of the idea of Nuremberg.
Yeah.
I think it has some problems, and if I give lectures or write about it, I'll point out those problems. But it's not a problem to say, when you do something that horrible, you should be punished, and you should be held responsible, despite the fact that the laws of my nation permitted
right.
it.
Does the Catholic Church teach that there is some kind of universal law by which all regional, cultural, positive laws can ultimately be judged?
Well, that's natural law.
Yeah,
that's the premise of natural law.
Right.
It's written on the hearts of all of us. And to the extent that positive law grows from that, that is the law that would be most in keeping with Catholic tradition. We know a lot of law not only does not flow from that positive law sometimes is in contradiction to natural law. That's what the Nazis were all about.
And so,
if we are trying to look at the American system, where are the areas where we are most out of line with natural law? There are some areas.
Well, let me jump to one because we're going to run out of time, and it's Justice Scalia in the Smith decision. Here's a case where he basically says that laws of general applicability have the power to suppress religious liberties. That's why Kim Davis was thrown. Ultimately, that's why Kim Davis was in jail. Why? He's a Catholic. You would think that he'd have a way of thinking about religious obligations which transcend these laws of general applicability. Maybe we don't have the time to really go into that, but I wanted to throw it at you.
Sure. And my response to that would be to look at Scalia wrote, I believe in First Things, he wrote an article, this is probably 5 or 7 years ago, about a Catholic judge's duty in the situation of the death penalty. And he said, you know, if you are called upon by society to give the death penalty, and if you believe that your faith could never allow you to do that, and he argues against that, he says his faith would allow him to. But if that's the case, then you should step down from your public job.
Because there can be no religious accommodation.
Because you, at that point, you've taken a job to carry out the laws, the positive law of the society. And at that point, you know, the answer is not for you to stand in the way of society. The answer, there are other ways to attack those laws and change those laws and fight those laws, but it's not your job to stand in a public position and fail to carry it out.
Could you recuse yourself from a case like
that? Yeah, well, that would be legitimate too.
So
right,
because this argument with Kim Davis is that, right. Well, good heavens, this is the law, you ought to do it. But you know, the Title VII amendments seem to give religious accommodation here. The Religious Freedom Restoration Act. Time's running out. We just got started on that. Thank you,
Al.
Thank
so
you
great
for
to
being
see
here. And let's get together again. We may have discussed disinformation. That book a few years ago, but we didn't give it a lot of time because I looked at the cover of it and it looks familiar. So I'm sure I wouldn't have let it go by without calling it.
It deserves some attention.
We'll get together again.
Right,
thank you, Ron.
Thank you.
Ron Rischlak, American Law from a Catholic Perspective.
This Ave Maria radio program is brought to you in part by St. Gregory Retreat Centers, the new standard for recovery. St. Gregory Retreat Centers offers substance abuse treatment options using traditional Catholic teaching about virtue and access to daily Mass and reconciliation, combined with the latest evidence-based practices in substance abuse. More information is available at 888-778-5833 or online at stgregoryctr.com.
Seriously? Are you kidding me? There is seriously no truck that can compare with the new Ram pickup. Sure, they're Ram tough, get 20 miles per gallon, and are the most comfortable and best-looking trucks on the road. But did you know they're also the most affordable? Hi, I'm Dan Hall from Pinckney Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. And during Ram Truck Month, payments are as low as $199 per month. Stop in today at Pinckney Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram or visit us online at PinckneyChrysler.com.
God expects you to make the most of what you have been given.
From Paramount Pictures comes Captive. When a young mother is taken hostage by an escaped convict, she turns to the inspirational book, The Purpose Driven Life, to guide her.
Could you forgive me?
I don't know, but maybe God can.
Based on the true story, Captive. In theaters, September 18th, rated PG, may be inappropriate for children under 13. More information is at CaptiveTheMovie.com. Fall is approaching. Time for religious education programs, confirmation prep, and Bible studies. Or maybe it's simply you feeling called to a deeper understanding of the sacred scripture.
Our Lady of Grace bookstore has an extensive selection of Bibles for learners as young as 10 to the new Didache Bible with explanations from the Catechism. See our website or one of our knowledgeable staff members for help in making a selection. We're located in Ann Arbor at US 23 and M14 inside the Domino's Farms Office Park at Lobby C. Visit OurLadyOfGraceBookstore.com or Facebook for hours and directions.
Good afternoon. I'm Al Cresta. You know, one of the reasons I returned to the Catholic Church is because there's really only two traditions within Christendom or within the Christian world that has a very vivid worldview. In other words, they do see all areas of life under the lordship of Christ, and that is, in my estimation, the Catholic Church. There's also a Dutch Reformed tradition, which I think is very, very powerful and has, in many cases, overlaps with Catholic Church thinking about culture. But I love when I see men and women who are, you know, called into a particular field thinking as Catholics within that field. And we have a long way to go to reestablish that mentality among American Catholic professionals. But here we have, again, a number of law professors and thinkers and, who are talking about everything from church-state law to philosophy of law to the ethics of lawyers and judges to immigration law. To human dignity and the death penalty, property law, bankruptcy law, intellectual property, labor and employment law. I mean, when you think about this, I think we should have a legitimate pride that the Catholic tradition, which again goes right back to the incarnate word, the Catholic tradition is fruitful for thought in all of these different areas. There is no wild separation between God's will in these areas of human endeavor. We were made to do have dominion on the earth. We were made to go and bring God's will to bear on all areas of human endeavor. Now, this is in the field of law. But you can do something similar, of course, in medicine. You do something similar in business. And stay with us. We've got another great hour coming up. I'm Al Cresta.
This hour of Cresta in the Afternoon is co-produced by Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Would you like a copy of this program? If you miss a part of this program or want to hear it again, Ave Maria programming can be made yours when you order. Just call 734-930-4506. Within a few weeks, you'll receive a copy of this show and any others you want to order on CD. Call 734-930-4506.
WeatherGuard has been protecting Michigan homes for nearly three decades. But what about the earth, our common home? With the latest innovations in windows and insulation, WeatherGuard is dedicated to products that last well beyond the low standards set by our throwaway culture and are carefully engineered to cut energy costs and reduce the impact we have on our common home. Visit WeatherGuard.com to get a free estimate and learn how you can do your part to reduce energy consumption. We're WeatherGuard, and we're here to protect your home.
Cresta in the Afternoon is brought to you in part by HomeschoolConnections.com, providing online, live, and recorded courses across the curriculum with a Catholic perspective. Subjects include science, math, philosophy, writing, history, literature, and much more. Adults and students in private and public schools can also take the recorded courses. HomeschoolConnections.com, educating the heart, mind, and soul in the Catholic tradition. Ave Maria Radio thanks HomeschoolConnections.com for their support.
Seriously? Are you kidding me? There is seriously no truck that can compare with the new Ram pickup. Sure, they're Ram tough, get 20 miles per gallon, and are the most comfortable and best-looking trucks on the road. But did you know they're also the most affordable? Hi, I'm Dan Hall from Pinckney Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. And during Ram Truck Month, payments are as low as $100.